I am Lila Cardanian, and this is my first podcast. I have been wanting to do this for such a long time and just kept making excuses about not having time, but really it takes an hour of my day, and it's something that I really, really have been dreaming about doing every single night. And I just feel like I have so much to say. I've met such incredible people. I feel like my journey is very inspirational, and I just feel as though I have a lot of valuable information to share. So if you're new here, welcome. Thank you for giving my podcast an opportunity. This is something new for me. Those of you who know me personally know that I love talking and I can talk for hours and hours and hours. And so I will try to keep it short and simple here. But this first podcast, I really wanted you guys to get to know me. And the reason for that is I want you to hear my journey, and so that you can have a deeper connection with me and a deeper understanding with the conversations we'll be having here. I was born in Yerevan, Armenia in 1984. I came to America with my family in 1987. And my parents had nothing, like most immigrant parents, had several hundred dollars in their pocket. And when I hear this story now, it makes me wonder how in the world my parents ever risked that. How did immigrant parents risk moving country with no money in their pocket? And I just have to give a shout out to immigrant parents and kudos to you. I can't even imagine doing that with my three kids right now. And you know, they did everything for us. Even though they had no money in their pocket, they did everything for us. And it was all about the quality of the time they spent with us, working 2 to 3 jobs, taking any job, and not saying no to anything just to survive and make ends meet. I specifically remember going to college with my mom. She would make me a sandwich, wrap it up. I was not old enough to go to school yet. We didn't have enough money for daycare. And so she had a conversation with her teacher, and I would sit in the back of the class and quietly eat my sandwich and wait for my mom's class to be over. I also remember her picking us up and taking us to different homes because she was a hairstylist. She would cut hair for, I believe, $10, and we would drive to different locations with her. She would drag us along so she could get $10 cutting someone's hair. And I admire my parents so, so much. And I definitely think that's an important aspect for you guys to know, because I really want you to understand where I came from. I know sometimes when people who don't know you see your success, they think you may have been lucky. They think, you know, just the stars aligned for you. And sometimes that is in addition to all the other things that are happening in our lives. But where we came from says a lot about who we are today. So moving fast forward, I'll spare you the details. I went to 5 different elementaries within 6 grades. Don't ask why. We moved every single year. I don't know why. And so I learned to be very social because I had to make new friends every year. And I continued on to college. I went to community college, and then I went to CSUN and Woodbury University. So I have my undergrad in sociology and my graduate in master's in business administration. Initially, I thought I wanted to be a social worker or a therapist, somewhere in the social world. But life took me in a different direction. I took every job opportunity that came along without being picky. So I've worked in every environment you can think of, from the medical field to property management. I was a law clerk. I worked at a beauty store. And then ultimately, I was at Disney in the finance department for several years before I decided to venture out on my own. Now, when I say venture out on my own, I need to do a little explaining. I was starting to get very bored and miserable at my corporate desk, doing the same thing every day, punching in numbers. It was not something I wanted to do. Like I said, it was just something I fell into. The money was good. And so I felt like I was stuck there. So for quite some time, I started complaining that I didn't want to be there. And I kept saying it out loud. I need to find another job. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. And so Disney does these annual interviews or meetings with our VP, and we need to tell them what we're doing and where we believe we're headed. And so when it was time for me to meet with my VP, I tell him that I'm looking for a job. And he was kind of surprised when he looked at me, because that's not the type of response they normally get or are waiting for. But I told him I'm not happy and that I wanted to get into some sort of marketing field. Shortly after that, we hear about layoffs that are going to be happening within Disney. And there were several layoffs that happened that year, actually. And so I called my boss one morning because I knew the layoffs were going to happen that day. And I asked her, I said, "Hey, I'm just wondering, is my stuff in a box on my table?" She said, "Why would you say that?" I said, "I don't know. There's layoffs today and I just feel like I'm going to be laid off." And she said, "Don't say that. Why would you say that? No, you're not going to be laid off." I said, "Okay, well, I'm just checking." So I go into work and no, my stuff are not in a box. And we sit there, but we all get a meeting request, an hour from then. So an hour passes. We all pick up our stuff to go into one office, except they're all walking to the left. And I find myself walking to the right. And I'm like, "Excuse me, you guys are going the wrong way. It's in room 2B. They're like, "No, it's in room 2A. I said, no, you guys are mistaken. It's in room 2B. So we all go back to our computers to double check the room we're in. And lo and behold, they're all going to one room and I'm the only one going to a separate room. And right then and there, I knew it. I knew I was going to be laid off. I walk into the office. There's my VP that I've said that I'm looking for a job. And the lady from human resources sitting there with a blue folder, which was basically my severance pay. So she starts to slowly tell me that my position is being diminished and that they no longer need me. But I knew where this was coming from, because obviously I indirectly asked for this. And so as she was talking to me, I could not hear anything she was saying anymore. And I just started bawling. I was crying. Thinking about it now, I was like, why was I crying? This is what I wanted. But it was just surreal. I just couldn't believe I was actually being laid off. And so I go to my desk and they said, "Look, you have 2 weeks, you could take a break today if you want." And I was like, "Okay." So I just sat there and all my coworkers just came by and they're like, "No way did this happen. Why are you getting laid off?" And I was crying and then I started laughing. Like, I couldn't believe I actually got laid off. So I packed my stuff. I went home and my mom was like, "What are you doing? Why are you home?" And I said, "I got laid off." So she starts crying. I said, "Mom, don't worry about it. I'm getting a severance pay. I'm booking a trip to Europe with me and you. We're going to go for about 2 weeks and we'll come back and we'll figure it out." Mind you, during this time, I am also a makeup artist. So I was working from home in my garage while my mom did hair, I did makeup. And when I say working from home, this part-time job was a second full-time job for me. I was working from 4 or 5 in the morning to probably 9, 10 o'clock at night. At this time, clubs were really popular, so girls didn't mind getting their makeup done at 9, 10 o'clock. So I would work around the clock on weekends. And on Friday, because I was at a corporate job, I would start my clients again for, I took a client every hour, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and then I would run to work. And oftentimes I would come home on my lunch break, take a client, go back to work. And then I would be off at 6 o'clock. I'd come home, do several more clients. And I did this for the entire time I worked at the corporate job. So I felt comfortable being laid off and I was almost glad it was me and not someone who needed the job. I should also mention, while I was at Disney, I was also doing my master's program and I was taking the evening classes. I was taking the condensed 1 year class. I laugh about it now because I wonder how in the world I did it, but that is exactly my life now with kids and a business. I had several businesses before they shut down due to COVID, but when people ask me, how do you do it? I feel like I was always doing too much and it became a norm for me to not relax, not get too comfortable. Could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. I do definitely feel like I burn out sometimes and when that happens, I give myself a break. But for the most part, this has been my life. My life has been on the go 7 days a week. And so I come back from Europe and I tell my parents, look, I want to open my own makeup studio. Initially, my mom said no because she had a salon that failed. But my mom also is not very good in English, does not know anything about business. And she just opened the salon because she really wanted one and she was talented, but she was really not able to manage it. My dad, on the other hand, said, I know you can do it. I'm with you. My dad is a welder, very creative man. And so he helped build the entire studio. I mean, it was a small space at the time. It was 700 square feet, but he built everything for me. So I feel really lucky that I got to save a lot of money with that. But during this time, between going to school and going to work at my full-time job at Disney, I was doing small seminars at Namie's. So Namie's is a beauty store located in Sherman Oaks, and they had a balcony in the back. They were not using it. And I asked them, like, hey, can I teach a class here? And classes were not happening, to be honest with you. This was a very long time ago. And he said, sure, we'll clean it up for you. So I started hosting these seminars, these one-day seminars that would happen once every 2 months, eventually once a month. Then I started getting a lot of requests. I started teaching these seminars once a month. So I knew that when I opened the studio, I can afford my rent months in advance, and I was not going to be left with a situation my mom was left in. I was going to be able to afford it and survive and make profit. So I was booked with my clients a year in advance, and I was booked with my seminars months in advance. And so I opened my first little small studio I was very proud of, and I started teaching courses. I had someone ask me, hey, one day is just not enough. Do you do a course? And I was like, no, but I can. What's going to stop me from doing a course? So I flew out to New York to do a seminar there. And during the 5-hour duration of the flight, I wrote down a course curriculum. I came back, started promoting the classes. And one person, mind you, the classes were $3,000. And one person signed up to the class. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, why would anybody pay me $3,000 to learn how to do makeup? This is crazy. This was the ongoing rate for the local schools. But I mean, I've never taught before, not courses at least. So I used this opportunity as marketing. So the girl came every day for, I believe, a weekend or 2 weeks, a week and a half. Normally I would teach 3 weeks, but we condensed it because it was only her. It was one-on-one. She's really happy. And I used this on social media. There was no Instagram at the time. It was only Facebook. And I started promoting my teaching her. I would post day one, this is what we're learning. Day two, this is what we're learning. Day three. And I knew to take advantage of social media back then. And so comes IMATS, and IMATS is an international makeup trade show where you go once a year and you present your cosmetics and you hope that people buy it. So I had nothing to sell except the school. So I show up in a little booth very last minute. I bring my rug from my house. I bring a little tree that was in my studio. I set up a little table, prop up a chair, and I start doing demos for 3 days all day. And just from doing that, I booked 4 students for my next course. And use that as marketing on social media. The class after that was happening every other month now. I booked 8 students. The class after that, 10, 12, 14, and then I put a cap on it. Now, I was teaching for 3 weeks every night, Monday through Friday. And I was teaching every other month. So I will let you do your calculation on how much money I was actually making teaching these classes. Now, I have to tell you, it was not easy because I was still taking clients throughout the day on weekends. I had no social life. I had no break. And I would do this every day of my life. And when I wasn't teaching or taking a client, I was posting and sharing and doing tutorials for social media and photo shoots. Beauty is really, really my passion. I love doing makeup. And I realized that I was very, very tired at some point. And I thought, what could I do where I'm not physically working all the time? I can't do this for the rest of my life. I started to be in physical pain from my shoulders, my back, my legs. It is hard labor. I know makeup artist seems like a glamorous job, but it's probably one of the hardest jobs. The hours you work are ridiculous. You wake up at 4 or 5 in the morning and you finish late. Sometimes you don't even get to eat. And I was running on Pepsi and coffee for quite some time until I realized I'm getting really unhealthy. And I decided, okay, well, I want my own makeup line. This is something I've always wanted to do. Maybe this is the opportunity. Maybe this is where I start. And so I decided, okay, I'm going to have my own makeup line. And what am I going to start with first? Well, I realized working with my customers that the number one request was foundation and how confused they are because of their skin type. One person's oily, one person's dry. And I realized, depending on their skin type, I was constantly changing the brands that I was working with, and I had to have everything in my kit because there was no one size fits all skin types type of foundation. And I thought, I need to create a one size fits all skin type, one size fits all skin types foundation. And that's what I decided to do. So I literally Googled cosmetics labs near me, and I found one in Chatsworth. I went and met with them, and I said, let's go, let's do this. So we started sampling out. They helped me with packaging because I knew nothing about that. I knew nothing about sales and marketing and the beauty cosmetics world at this point. So when people ask me, how did you start? I'm literally like, I Googled it. I don't know what to tell you. But what I do know is that you need to figure out what it is that's missing on the market. What do you have to deliver that your competitors or your possible competitors don't have? I mean, when people would ask me who my competitors were, I would mention brands that I'm not competition to them. I'm just starting my brand. And we have brands like Laura Mercier and Bobbi Brown that are inspiration to me. And so I always thrived to be up there. But I had no idea what I was doing. And it's been a learning experience every single minute till today. It's been 6 years I've had the brand. And I know it really well inside out at this point, obviously. I know every aspect of my job, from the online digital marketing to finance to customer service to photography, you name it. I'm a part of it. I handle it collaboratively. And I think it's really important as the owner of a business to be able to learn and do every aspect of your business, because you can be in control of what direction you want to take it to. And that's really, really important. There's been many times where people who have worked for me try to steer me into a direction that I know is not me or my brand. And I refuse to go in that direction. And ultimately, I was shown that I made the right decision. So you have to go for what your heart wants, for what your mind wants. And you know, if you know what you want, you cannot be distracted. You cannot let anybody distract you. And that is going to be my biggest advice. You should listen. You should take constructive criticism, but ultimately it's your decision. I feel so blessed that I get to work in a field that I was at most passionate about. I, till this day, go to sleep feeling grateful to be doing what I love every single day. And believe it or not, my dreams are makeup, what products I'm going to develop next, and what marketing plan. I wake up losing my mind. And I love it though. I love every part of my job. And if I didn't, I would not be able to do it with 3 kids and a husband. I met my husband the same year I opened my studio, back in 2013. We got engaged on his birthday the following year in 2014, and we got married on my birthday, July 4, that same year. 2016, I had my first girl. 2019, I had my second girl, and I just had my baby boy in October of 2020. We always knew we wanted three kids. We just lucked out with the third one being a boy. But that's where my life is at now. My focus is LC Cosmetics. I did have a pop-up shop about a year and a half ago that shut down due to COVID. My salon that I talked about earlier, by the way, we ended up moving that studio into a larger 3,000 square foot salon for about 5 to 6 years. And again, due to COVID, it was one of the top businesses that were affected and I had to shut down. It was heartbreaking, but I also do feel like I am ready for a new chapter and focusing on my brand, focusing on my family, and that's plenty for my plate right now. I hope that you found my story a little bit inspirational. There's so much depth to each one. I just don't want this to be a 2-hour podcast, and hopefully you're still listening. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you found a place to connect with me on some level. I am open to anything, any conversations that you guys are open to having. I have a lot of really good interviews lined up. The first one being my husband. My husband has been in mystery on social media because he doesn't really like being seen on social media, and it's just a personal thing for him. But I was able to convince him to at least have a conversation with me on my podcast. And the reason I want to do that is because I feel like I really want you guys to get to know him, and by getting to know him again, you will get to know me and how our relationship started, how we survive, and really talk about parenthood. We're always talking about the mom life, the work-life balance, but I really want you to hear the perspective of the dad, on the dad life balance, dad work balance. And so we have a lot of insightful conversations coming your way. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. Please subscribe. And I will see you guys next time.